Our scripture this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And I left my Bible off in the classroom. And while we're going to have it up here, I'm going to turn to some other scriptures. So I wanted to have my Bible up here this morning. All right. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Some beautiful promises there, but some very strong words. We call this a command, and it is a command to make disciples. Now, hallelujah, you and I aren't the ones who have to do it all, because you and I can't make anyone change their heart. That's not in our realm. But hallelujah, the Holy Spirit can touch and draw someone to Jesus Christ. Now, last week I talked about Pentecost, and I talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit came. They had not been told what was going to happen. Their instructions had been to wait until they received the power. That's what they knew was going to happen. They didn't know the flames of tongues were going to come and descend upon them. They had no idea what was going to happen. Peter had not had a chance to write down his sermon and outline it, as, thank heavens, I have had the chance to do. But Peter didn't have that chance. But the Holy Spirit came upon him, and so he began to share. And he began to share. Now, what's interesting is what Peter shared is exactly what this command is. He shared about becoming a disciple of Jesus. So, there's a couple of things that I want us to look at this morning as well. Jesus said, "All authority is given to me." Hallelujah. All authority. And from that authority, then, we have been instructed. But I want us to go back to Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Now, what does it say happened there? It said that the Holy Spirit, which we know was placed upon him at his baptism, which was in the verses right before that, said, "Jesus, get up and go to the desert." And so Jesus obeyed and he went to the desert. Now, as you think about those temptations, what is one of the things that we start to realize? We start to realize that Satan had certain authority. How did he get that authority? Because of Adam's fall. So we need to recognize that there had been a transition. At the beginning in creation, God had told mankind to subdue the earth and to rule over it. Adam negated that and lost that authority. But here we see that Satan, the one who had been the tempter, had retained that authority. And so he said, "If you will worship to me, I will give you these kingdoms." Now, I know that if Satan hadn't had that authority, Jesus would have called him on it. He would have said, "Satan, those aren't yours to give." But that's not what we find that Jesus said. Jesus recognized that because of fallen man, sin had entered the world, authority had been given over to Satan that was not his, that he had usurped. And so, this is why we now see Jesus coming to the world. Why? To reestablish the right way of God. And so, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus now says, all authority is given to me. All right? We all do understand, all of us have had authority over us at some point in our life, right? You all were a child. Who were your authority as a child? Your parents. When you went into the Army, those or the Air Force or what, Navy or Coast Guard or whatever you served in, who was in authority over you at that point? The government. And ultimately, your trainers, your sergeants, or whoever it was, the drill sergeant is what I immediately think of as I think of the pictures. I was never in the service, so I don't know about that endless training and drilling and getting up supposedly in the middle of the night and putting the weights on your back and marching through the rain and the mud and so forth. But there was authority. We need to understand that yes, there is authority. But Jesus now took that authority that he won back and he says to you and I have the authority to now tell you what to do and to give you the authority and the power to do it. You see, we need to understand this. Because Satan is still out there trying to lie about authority. He is still out there trying to deceive people. And if people don't understand that that authority has now been transferred back to the kingdom of God and to Jesus, who is our Lord, and ultimately then onto us as His servants. You see, we need to see the authority of God resting upon us. And he says to go and make disciples. Teaching them what? Everything. All that I have commanded you. Now guys, if I was going to try to now preach to you on all the things that Jesus said, can you imagine how long we'd be here? No, you can't, because I can't either. But what we need to recognize is that Jesus was saying, I have spent 3 years investing in your life. I have spent 3 years helping you to understand what the kingdom of God is, and you have now been called to establish that kingdom. Now, how does that play out in our lives? Have you ever heard of the word sanctification? Well, of course you've heard of that word. Sanctification is a process by which something is made holy. Now, when the temple was set up, it was accomplished by blood and prayer. And the things that were used that were in the temple were sanctified. Now, could they be used for anything else after that? No, they couldn't. They were holy. They were only to be used in the temple. So guys, how does this sanctification play out in our lives? Because does that mean you guys have to stay here and we're all going to come and live here on the church grounds? No, it does not. But what it does mean is that your life is now to be holy. That every moment of your life is to be holy. Now, sometimes we need to get a new understanding of what it means to be holy. To be holy is to be about God's purpose. And hallelujah, he said, let us be fruitful and multiply. All right? Did you ever think about that as holy? Yes, it's private, but it is holy. Hallelujah, God said that we are to go out into the world. Oh, now you're really stepping on my toes. What does it mean to go out into the world? Well, yes, we immediately get in our mind missionaries. Well, yes, that is a part of it. But I believe that God has called each and every one of us to become missionaries. But He has not called all of us to go to deepest, darkest Africa. He has not called all of us to go to the tropics. He has not called all of us to be martyrs. But He has called some of us for those things. But those of us that He has left here in Ohio, He has called us to still be missionaries for Ohio. To let our light shine. Now, how is it that we let our light shine? Many, many different ways. A disciple is one who has taken his life and said, "It is no longer mine, but my leader's." So for me to be Jesus' disciple means that He is going to be in charge of my life. And that I will surrender my spirit to His leading. And my life to His leading. Discipleship. When people, let's go back to the army. When people went into the army, they had basic training. They spent a lot of time drilling, 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 drilling. Christians, we need to spend a lot of time drilling, 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 drilling. So that when we come to war, we are prepared. We have been called to a war. And in the Bible, we have that picture. We all know the Ephesians scripture that talks about putting on the whole armor of God. There is a reason that we put on the whole armor. We don't want to leave any part of ourselves unprotected. And we need to recognize that that is something that we have to learn about and we have to drill with. One of the things that it says is our offensive weapon is the sword. All right? What is the sword? It is the Word of God. Now, guys, if you haven't ever been exposed or know the Word of God, then your sword is going to be mighty small. It's like taking a safety pin into battle. I hate to tell you this, but you're probably going to have your head chopped off before you can get that safety pin close enough to poke the individual that you're battling. That's why we have to understand that discipleship is something that we have to commit to and we have to work for. Now, I didn't say that you have to memorize the whole Bible. Johnny, you jump up and quote all of the chapters of Genesis for me?
I can't do it.
I can't either, okay. That's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is we need to know what this Word says so that the Holy Spirit can work upon us when we're in a situation. And when we have become disciples and gotten prepared and are ready, then when a situation arises, the Holy Spirit can work upon our mind and bring back. In fact, I think there's a scripture we could quote that says, in the time that you need it, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance. Remembrance means you've already read it, right? Already heard it. But if we don't know it, it can't be brought back to mind. So, one of the things that I've tried to do in my life is to read through scriptures so that I can get them in my mind. Now, some of these are not the most enjoyable. When you get to all the begats, how many of you love that section of scripture? But there's some little tiny nuggets that are put in there. For those of you that are familiar with the Gwendolyn theory, I think that's somewhere close to how that's pronounced. This is where there was one section of all the land was together and all the water was together. And eventually the land was divided out and we came to have the seven continents that we now call. Well, did you know that it says in the Bible that Peleg means the lands are divided? And that's in some of those begats. So there's these little tiny nuggets that are thrown around in there. And we begin to recognize that even the shifting of the earth was something that God had ordained from the beginning. And while I don't like to think about earthquakes and all of my friends living in California, that they say it's going to drop off into the ocean, this is all a part of the way that the world was established by God. And those laws were established. And guys, you and I don't understand all of that. We just aren't smart enough to get it all down. But the main thing is, if my friends in California know the Lord Jesus and the land does disappear into the ocean, where are they going? Amen?
Amen.
So this morning, I want us to recognize you and I have been called. We have been giving marching orders. Our marching orders are 1, to get yourself ready, and 2, to go out into the world to be the light and the salt of the world. That is our marching orders. And I am so thankful that my father before me understood that and accepted Jesus, and that he then proceeded to teach me about Jesus. I'm thankful that his father before him did the same thing. And we could go back generation after generation. But I had to personally accept Jesus to receive his power and his authority. I had to personally do that. You also, each one of you, you are not born into the kingdom of heaven by your parents. You are born into the kingdom of heaven when you personally accept Jesus and have a relationship with him. Every moment of every day, you're born and renewed and then sanctified. And your life will change. Your life will change. Things that used to anger you, you will recognize as simply Satan's way of trying to disrupt your life. And you will get to the point that you'll say, aha, I see the attack, and I now allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. You see, this is one of the things that we've got to recognize, is that our response to situations that are bad should be immediately to seek the Lord and what His Word wants us to do in each situation. Instead of reacting and possibly doing the wrong thing. Now, I want again to remind us all, the Bible does not say that anger is wrong. It says, be angry and do not sin. It's what you do with anger that can either be right or wrong. The right way to handle anger is to seek the Lord in it. The wrong way to handle anger is to put yourself on top of it and say, I'll handle this. Because more than likely, you're not going to handle it in the right way. This morning, let us take our marching orders and let us learn to apply it to the lives that God has given us. He has placed us where we live for a purpose. He has placed us as neighbors for a purpose. He has placed us in our jobs for a purpose. Let's look and listen and be ready. He's even placed us in retirement for a purpose. He's placed us in families for a purpose. Today, Marjorie is seeking to fulfill that purpose in her family. You see, this is what it's all about. Shining the light. In the bad situations, in the hard times, as well as the good times. Amen. Our Father, we thank you so much that we have heaven to look forward to. Yes. That we have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Yes. washed and made pure, and that sanctification is coming and being made each day as we grow closer and closer to that time we join with you, your second coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.